This morning, we are going to continue talking about Emmanuel, God with us. Say Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Say God with us. Say God with me. Amen. Amen. So this morning, my title of my message is Emmanuel. Actually, it's the same as the concert tonight. It's Experiencing Emmanuel. How do we experience Emmanuel? So let's go to our base scripture that we've been launching out of. It's in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Starting in verse 22, it says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." God with us. And so we are in the middle of our Christmas season. Again, it's the Christmas again. We are in the middle as the Advent wreath is showing us. It is getting closer and closer. For some of us, it reminds us of the coming King. For some of us, it reminds us, I got like a week and a half left of shopping. So get all that stuff done. And so how many of y'all have one of those, just this is a side thing, but how many of y'all have one of those chocolate Advent calendars in your home? Anybody, you have one of those chocolate, okay, that's all right, we have one. How many, like, and it's funny that all of those things, like, I think we're already on day 23. So we're closer than everybody else to Christmas. Christmas is sooner for us than for everybody else. But we want to talk about, so the theme this year is you are not alone, Emmanuel. You are not alone. So the first week, when we started this series talking about Emmanuel, we talked about the drama of Mary and Joseph. And we said this, surely if Mary and Joseph had Emmanuel, Jesus, with them, you know, if anybody knew what it meant to have God himself with them, it was Mary and Joseph, right? And but you look at all the drama that happens around Mary and Joseph, and it's a comfort to us, right, that if they actually had little baby Jesus, little baby Emmanuel with them, and they went through drama, it's not uncommon for us to go through some drama. It's not uncommon for us to. But in all of those things, what we pointed out on the first week is we pointed out that all of those things had a purpose and a plan, and it was not out of God's sight, right? A lot of it had to do with fulfilling prophecies from. And so then last week, we started off with two theological terms. We talked about the hypostatic union. We talked about incarnation last week. And we gave the illustration of the dog. We showed my dog, Max. I have to be careful. My daughter is like right here with me, who was highly offended that I would talk about her dog that's not that smart, went around her. And so he is not a genius, Rachel, he's not a genius. But I will say this. So that analogy, I will give credit to where credit's due. It actually came from Rachel. That was Rachel's analogy that she gave. It was her thing that she came up with. So it was kind of mean. I used her analogy and insulted her dog. Welcome to our family. So, but let's move on, right? So let's move on and talk about experiencing Emmanuel. So what does that mean? What does this mean? What is the idea that Jesus came and he was Emmanuel? He actually took on flesh. Like, what does that mean for us today? How does that relate to us today? So I want us to listen to this exchange that happens towards the end of Jesus' ministry here on earth between his disciples and Jesus. And so let's go there. We'll go to John chapter 16 and verse 1. Kind of a lengthy scripture. We're going to read all the way down to verse 7. It says, "I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God." Yeah. They will do these things because they haven't known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when that time comes, you will remember what I told you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going away to him who sent me. And not one of you has asked, where are you going? Yet I have spoken these things to you. Sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. So here we are at this point in Jesus' ministry where this moment is super heavy for these disciples. He is, this, just in a timeline, the timeline of this is, so this is chapter, what do we say, it's chapter 16, right? Chapter 17 will be Jesus praying his famous priestly prayer, right? His prayer that he prays, it's a beautiful prayer. Go read his prayer. It's where he prays for unity, right? He prays for all those, he prays for his disciples that are there. He prays for the people that will believe because of their account. That's us, right? He prays for unity, right? And then chapter 18 will be his betrayal, and then that starts the crucifixion and resurrection. So this is the end of Jesus' ministry. So these guys have seen all the things. They've seen the healings. They've seen Jesus give words of knowledge. They've seen Jesus operating in the gifts of the Spirit. They've seen Jesus do he's done all the stuff. And now he's telling them that I'm going away. He says, if we think about this, so these guys, I want you to feel this. They have left everything to follow Jesus. Everything. Peter has a wife. These guys had jobs. Matthew walked away from it. Now, controversial as it were, a gig with Rome. He's walked away. These guys have sucked everything. And for 3.5 years, Jesus walks with these guys. And what we do, we just read through the Gospels, right? Yeah. Oh, he went to here, then he went to here, then he went to here. Well, these sometimes are 3-4 day trips. That means walking about 10 miles a day. That means, I don't know, maybe they had places to stay. Maybe it was campfires. All of those times, can you imagine how great 10 hours a day walking with Jesus? You can ask him anything you want. You can sit around a campfire. Can you imagine those campfire conversations? Not to mention, I mean, they're mostly guys. Guys, a lot of us sit around campfires. Real life conversations. Talking about stuff, life, politics, all of that stuff around a campfire with Jesus. Getting his perspective on all of this stuff. And Jesus says, yeah, I'm leaving all of you. And it's better that I go away. No, it's not, Jesus. I want you to feel that moment because it is crucial to understand what he meant by saying that it's better that I would go away. It's interesting that Jesus tells him at the beginning, he said, I've said all these things to keep you from stumbling, to keep you from getting tripped up, Because there's going to be things in your lives, disciples, that are going to cause you to be tripped up in your faith and in your commitment to Jesus. He said, I've told you all of these things. So all this context of what Jesus is saying. And then he says, it's better that I go away. Because I'm going to send you what the CSB right here translates, the counselor. The counselor. And the Greek, if you've been around church circles, you know, it's not the parakeet. It's the paraclete in Greek, right? That word means a lot of things. But at the core of what it means, it actually has to do with the helper, right? The encourager. Listen to this one. The assistant to you. The one who comes alongside, right? He's going to send you the great assistant. So John chapter 16, we'll pick up Jesus as he's talking about the paraclete, the counselor, the assistant. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Verse 12, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own. He will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. We live on this side of the crucifixion and resurrection and also the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We live in the day that Jesus was talking about. We live in that day. We live in the day where Jesus, who was the Emmanuel on earth, right, now has given us the Spirit of God to be, as it were, the Emmanuel to us now. God, by the Holy Spirit, is our Emmanuel, God with us. Not only with us, but in us. He says, it's better, and he was talking to, directly, he was talking to the disciples. He was, Matthew, I know you left everything. I know you left it all. I know the cost. I don't know, and you can't go back now, Matthew. But it's better that I go away for you, Matthew. That's incredible. I would dare say we have not tapped in to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit for most of us like Jesus intended us to. We have God with us, the Emmanuel that lives inside of us. He has come to do a lot of things. I had to study this all out because there's so much. There's so many rabbit trails. I can go down all of these things about the power of the Holy Spirit, right? All the things, right? But I wanted to dive into the, he is with you. By the Holy Spirit, you are not alone. You are not alone. He has come to be our Emmanuel. The Holy Spirit lives. You know what? Okay, this is not even going to be recorded. So, like, Brian, like, where's Brian? Is Brian? He may be. Brian prayed this. He said in prayer, he stood right here. He stood right here. I am not even kidding. Is it, the board's not back on yet? Like everything's going to have to reset. But he stood right here and prayed. And he said, God, no. He said, I pray that nothing happens. But even if it does, God, let your spirit still move in this place. That's what he prayed. Amen. So that could be a sign and a wonder that we need to listen this morning to what God may want to say to each one of us.
Amen.
I'm not even kidding. That's not even preach talk. We know that God works all things together for good. Right? So, Holy Spirit, like, what do you want to speak to us this morning? Too much of our time is spent figuring things out on our own, making it through on our own, figuring it, trying to do this, how do I raise my kids? How do I become a better employee? How do I do, I'm going to figure it all out. I'm going to read books, and those are great. But listen, we have something than books, better than books. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that Jesus said he will guide us into all truth. These things that correspond, listen, to our realities of what we're doing, what we're dealing with. These truths of that, not just spiritual truths. Yeah, he's going to draw us into spiritual truth. Yeah, he's going to show us Jesus. Yeah, he's going to reveal the Father. All these things he's going to do. But he's also going to help us the truth for that moment. You know the great thing? It dawned on me as I was studying. The great thing about being around Jesus. Like, this is Nick. Hey, Nick. This is Nick. Nick is my new friend. Come here, Nick. So, Nick, I'm learning to love this guy. So, Nick is my friend. Are you embarrassed? I'm learning. No. I do. I just like him. He's a very likable person. So, but let's say that this is Jesus. So, let's say this is Jesus. And like, we're walking to Samaria, and I'm thinking about like, and let's say I'm Peter, and I'm thinking about some issues that I've had with my wife. He's right there. He's right there. Now, Jesus, now, my wife, sometimes she gets like all emotional. And sometimes she gets all kind of, and I can't ever figure out what's going on in her head. Like, what is going on? Like, we have like all day to walk.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to take this opportunity to talk to the one who healed the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah, right.
Right? I'm going to talk to the one that when he came in contact with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus took all of the money that he had stolen, and somehow Jesus, with his Jesus being Jesus, made this guy who was a crook give all his money to the poor. Yeah. And if he stole, he would give back double. Like, that's miraculous.
Yeah.
If I'm Peter, I want to see that kind of stuff because those Roman people were messing with me.
Yeah.
But now I'm with him. I'm with him. Mm-hmm. And we're talking. And he's going to give me wisdom. Watch this. Not just, so we think just wisdom. But he has wisdom for me.
Yeah.
In my circumstance, in my life, in what I'm facing and what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Not just, we're not just sitting here talking about, you know, he's not showing me hypostatic union. He's not showing me, I mean, he's showing me hypostatic union for sure. He's not telling me theological truths right now. I need help with the way I want to walk and live with my wife.
Yeah.
And he's right here. Why wouldn't I ask him?
Yeah.
And he said, it's better, you can watch this, that he goes away. Because what he's able to do here, he's going to put inside
me. Wow.
Thanks, Nick. He's going to put that inside me. Sorry, I totally embarrassed him. But he's going to do that in me. Amen? in me. The things that correspond to our reality. How do we interpret the times? Listen, this is the Holy Ghost. It's amazing when you teach on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit flows. When was the last time you now I know we're all listening. I'm sure you're all interpreting all of this stuff that's going on in our world through your news cycle of choice. When was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit for the interpretation of the times? And I know there's prophets, I know there's people of God out there, I understand that. But for you, when was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit, what is the interpretation of the times for me? For me. The Holy Spirit came to do the same thing. He is here to help you. He is here to assist you, give you wisdom. He is the Spirit of wisdom and of truth. The Holy Spirit helps us. He reminds us who Jesus is. He convicts us, right, in sin. He convicts the world, right, of sin. We try to do that on our own. Well, okay, number three. The Holy Spirit dwells in the believers and fills us, right? He's a source of wisdom, revelation, and power. He guides us into all truth. He gives us knowledge. He will give you knowledge of things to come. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts to the believers to do the works of the ministry, right? He's the seal of the life. He is the very, how do you know that you're born again? God says he has put that seal on you. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, said it's like God took a wax seal and sealed it on you, marked you with the image of the Father on your life. You are sealed with promise by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray. God prays through us. He makes believers, he makes us new, right? The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He causes us to grow from glory to glory. He empowers us and gives us the ability to bear fruit in our life. Listen, that is such a work. It is not just you trying to crank out your love life. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit who wants to live that out through you. Oh, I'm gonna love my wife today. Well, that's comforting for your wife. I'm gonna love my husband today. You're gonna have to I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna work out my salvation. Which is true, but it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. This is the Spirit of God, it's the fruit of the Spirit that works in us. See, the Holy Spirit at the beginning. Oh, that's dangerous. Can I not have a clock anymore? The Holy Spirit. No, we're doing good. The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit was at the beginning. Remember, it says that the Holy Spirit brooded over the face of the waters. Right? The Holy Spirit had the ability then to bring order out of the chaos. The Holy Spirit in your life and in my life has the ability to bring order in the chaos. It's the Holy Spirit. And us charismatics, boy, we relegate him to the stuff. The tongues. Right? Or miracles, signs and wonders. Those are all great, and those are all great works of the Spirit. But he wants to do all of those things. But he wants to live mightily in you. He wants to walk alongside you. I call it this. We are called to walk naturally supernatural lives. We are called to walk natural, supernatural lives. It should be natural for us as believers to walk in the supernatural. The thing that goes above your natural, above your thinking, your thoughts. Jesus says, he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. How am I supposed to receive that, God? By the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite hymns is that hymn in the garden. It says, I walk through the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Yes. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, right? But then it says that, wait a minute, hang on. And he walks with me. And the joy I share as I tarry there, none other has ever known. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. When was the last time? When was the last time you as a believer decided that I am going to walk and talk with the Lord today? When Paul says the phrase that we are to pray without ceasing, I believe he's alluding to this idea of praying and walking with the presence of God and the knowledge that the Holy Spirit lives in you and walks with you and talks with you. And not only does he tell, thank God the Holy Spirit tells me I belong to him, but thank God, God, he also helps me when my kids were acting crazy. Thank God the Holy Spirit's there to say, whoa, David, don't say it. When I'm about to say something stupid. Wait, that's a really funny joke. I think Julie will really like it, but I'm kind of insulting her. But she'll really like it. She'll probably laugh. The Holy Spirit's like, no. No, that's danger. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Don't say it. Thank God, like when you want to put your fist through a wall because something happened and you're so angry about it, that the Holy Spirit says, no, trust me. I got you. Calm. The Holy Spirit is here to help you, to assist you, to be there with you. And then on top of that, we'll actually go into this next week a little bit more. That he's also there to give you words for others. He's there to give you words for that person who's not a believer. And you want to share the gospel with them, but you're afraid to say something stupid. The Holy Spirit said, don't worry. He said, I'll give you those words in that time. You're saying, you hear God talk to you? Yeah. It's all in the book. It teaches us that we're not left as orphans. That you're not alone. That God walks with you. He lives inside of you. You are not alone. So the question is, how well am I hearing? Or let me be your pastor for a second. Have I shut his voice off to me? Have I said no to him when he's challenged me in something? When he's trying to speak to me to go do something and I have turned the ear off to him? Or maybe it's been so long I've just lived in this natural thing that I've almost even forgotten the voice of God anymore. See, we can please him. We can also grieve him. And we can sear our conscience to where his voice isn't as clear and as it was. So how do you change that? Aren't you glad that God allows you to turn around? Aren't you glad that God is more concerned about speaking to you than even you hearing him? Did you receive that this morning?
Yes.
God's more interested in speaking to you because he is the initiator of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who sent him for you. I don't know, honestly, I don't know how people parent without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people stay married without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people function. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you want to know how to get through this crazy world? His answer was the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you know how you function in this world? By the Holy Spirit. Your connection, your personal connection with God. Because believe me, the Holy Spirit will direct you if you allow him to direct you. If we yield. So this morning, I'm going to have Eric, actually, Eric, if you could come up to your guitar. We're going to give you an opportunity this morning. Like, oh, and I felt it. I just felt it in the room. Do you understand God wants to speak to you? And it's not a thunderous, you know, rattle. Sometimes it's just a sense. You know, like the apostles in the book of Acts. So if you want to read about the Holy Spirit, right? I like to call the book of Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because really, the Holy Spirit is the one who's moving and directing these guys in all that they do. So here these guys are. They're about to go to a place. They're deciding whether this is a decision that they're making. Watch this. This is how simple this is. They're trying to think. They're trying to think of, should I go to this place or not? And the words that it says in Scripture about making this decision to go somewhere was this: it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit that we go.